In the book, we're on page 73.
73. And Buddhists?
Yeah. Do the opening prayers. Akandam Satchidanandam Avant Mansagocham Atmanam Akiladharam Ashri Pishta Siddhe. We're doing different. That's what is going on there. Repeat after me, okay? Akandam Satchidanandam
Akandam Satchidanandam
Avan Manasa Gocharam
Avan Manasa Gocharam
Atmanam Akila Dharam
Atmanam Akila Dharam
Ashriye Bhishta Siddhaye
Ashriye Bhishta Siddhaye
Artato Pyadvayanandan
Artato Pyadvayanandan
Atita Dvaita Bhanataha
Atita Dvaita Bhanataha
Guru Narajya Vedanta Saram Vakshe Yathamati
Guru Narajya Vedanta Saram Vakshe Yathamati.
Okay, we're on verse 128. We're going to look now. Remember, this whole thing is we're looking first, we looked at the Charvakas. And before that, we looked at the Atipakrita, kind of the very ignorant person. Then we've gone through the three different Charvakas. And now we're going to look at what the one school of Buddhism says called the Vijnanabhadins. I'll talk about that for a minute. But let's go ahead and look at the verse. So repeat after me. Verse 128. Baudhastu. Anyantara Atma Vijnanamayaha Ityadi Shrutehe Kartura Abhave Karanasya Shaktya Bhavat Ahankarata Ahambhokta Ityadi Anipavacha Buddhiratmeti Vadati. So here's the sandhi. Baudhaha tu Anyaha Antaraha Atma Vijnanamayaha Iti Adi. Oh, that's from the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.4.1 in the parents there. Then iti adi shrutehe kartuhu abhave karanasya shakti abhavat aham karta aham bhokta iti adi anubhavat cha buddhihi Atma iti vedati. So baudaha tu, the tu is differentiating, really, it can mean but or whereas, but it's just differentiating the different schools of thought. So we had the anyastu charvakaha, another school of charvaka. So tu is just used to differentiate one school from another, or one group from another. So the baudaha, now he's quoting. Following the same style of the previous verses, he's quoting from the Taittiriya Upanishad, a verse that is going to be a verse that the Baudha can quote from the Upanishad. It's kind of like, well, you also say this. Even though the Baudha and the Charvakas don't accept the Upanishad as Pramana, still, this author, Sadananda, is using these verses as though the Baudha might say, you have this verse which substantiates what we say. So the verse he's quoting here is from the Taittiriya, Anyaha, another, Antaraha, inner, more inner, another which is Antaraha, more inner, Atma, is the Vijnanamayaha. in this series, in the Taittiriya, which we've all been, many of us have been through the Taittiriya now, if you remember, it started, well, the Atma is this body, and then the Atma, there's an Atma that is interior to that, the prana. No, there's an Atma interior to that, the manas. No, there's an Atma interior to that, the vijnana. Okay? So it went from annamaya to pranamaya to manomaya, and now we're on vijnanamaya, where as they keep going inward to get finally to the Atma that cannot be objectified. We're even going to be going further into the anandamaya. So we're going to go through all of these, this Atmana, this is interior to this, so this one's more real, right? The pranamaya is interior to the anamaya. And so it's in interior and more pervasive, and so that's the Atma, not the anamaya, not the body. The prana is interior, and so that's the Atma. No, the manas is interior to the prana, so the manomaya Atma, that's the Atma. No, the vijnana. Now the vijnana is interior to the manas, and so that is the Atma. Right? So now, remember in the Taittiriya Upanishad, they go through each one of these, and the inner one that's inner negates the prior one. Right? But they take it all the way to the Atma, to the Brahman. But here, along the way, at each stopping point, there is a school of thought. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. This school stops here. Mm-hmm. This becomes a purvapaksha for a siddhanta. Now, just to really understand, somebody that Charvaka says, you know, the deha, the body is the Atma. Another Charvaka comes and says, no, the sense organs with the prana, that is the Atma. Another Charvaka comes and so they're arguing among themselves, as Purvabhaksha Siddhanta among themselves. And another Charvaka comes in and makes a case for the manas being the Atma, because without the mind, the sense organs and the prana aren't functioning. You need the mind there. And so he makes a case. And so, but now the Bauda comes, the Vijnana, who believes in the Yogacara, as we'll see, they're saying that no, the manas needs to be controlled by the Vijnana. And so the Vijnana Maya is the Atma. So we're going to see exactly what they mean by that. But do you see the Purvapaksha Siddhanta? And so the Vedanta is going to be the one who stands last, because The Vedantin is the one that takes it all the way to Brahman. It has not landed in something that exists within Maya. So there's lots of places to land within Maya, and just using the Taittiriya Upanishad, he's showing all of these places that are then negated by a place that is more pervasive and innermost, right? So this Purvapaksha Siddhanta is going on all the while. He's now moving to somebody who would take the Vijnana Maya Kosha, as the Atma. We'll see what Bauda means by Atma, as the Atma. And he's using this verse in the Taittiriya as a stopping place. Okay, this is where a mistake can be committed. The Bauda commits this mistake. By mistake we mean anyonya adhyasa, this mutual superimposition caused by ajnanam, ignorance of the self, which allows your being to be superimposed on something that is actually mithya, something that exists within maya, something that exists within duality. So each one of these stopping places, they're like resting points, is a purvapaksha that needs to be resolved. Right now, all he's doing, Sadananda is doing here in this little section, is listing purvapakshas. And he's using as his, not solely, but primarily as his resting place, the Taittiriya Upanishad, which is going through all of the koshas.
Well, now, if these Buddhists studied the Taittiriya and are quoting from it.
No, that's what I said about that, Edward, is that the Charvakas, the Prakritas, the very just ignorant day-to-day people who are not uneducated people, the Charvakas, the Bauda, they don't accept the Upanishads as a pramana, right? But Sadananda, when he's teaching this, you have to think of it like this. Those schools, if they were educated in the Upanishads, in the Upanishads, they could say, your own Upanishad says this, and then take this statement out of context. And then the Advaita Vedantin will say, well, it says this, and then it says.
Mm-hmm. But this is all in Sadananda's
imagination.
He's saying that they could say this, not that they are saying this.
Not that they are saying this. They're saying this in this verse.
Yeah.
Right. So.
But didn't they, in the old days, did have debates like that, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were debates all of the time in India. The debates between the darshanas, we have records of a lot of those debates and the things that would come up and how they were answered. And each school will bring up as many purvapakshas as they can and answer them within their own siddhanta. You know, and then in the Advaita Vedanta, especially within all of the commentaries, wherever there's something that lends itself to that purvapaksha siddhanta analysis, Shankara will do it. In the Brahma Sutras, that's what the Brahma Sutras is about. In the end, especially in chapter 1 of the Brahma Sutras, all of the Purvapaksha Siddhanta has to do with what the Upanishad is actually saying. Like a Dvaitin, or different people who are Vaidikas, they're Astikas, they accept the Vedas as a Pramana, they may, in chapter 1, they may take a Shruti statement to be mean one particular thing that the Advaita will not accept. And so the Shankara will take that as a Purvapaksha, and then he will answer it. Any place where there's any vagueness or contradiction around debate around what the Shruti is actually saying, then there'll be Purvapaksha Siddhanta in the Brahma Sutras, but also in the commentaries of the Upanishads. Chapter 2 is doing manana. Remember, Shravana is an revealing what the Upanishad actually says, and in that there'll be Purvapaksha Siddhanta, but only about what the Upanishad is actually saying. In chapter 2, it's manana. What manana is, yes, that is what the Upanishad is saying, but I don't agree with what it's saying. The Upanishads, this is the vision it gives. I don't think that's true. The Bauda, the Sankhya, all of these, they all have the Jains, the Charvakas, they all have different visions. And so now, in the chapter 2, the Purvapaksha Siddhanta is no longer over what the Upanishad says. It's whether or not what the Upanishad says is true. And when that's the case, you're bringing in all of these other darshanas. Even Dvaita Vedanta, Vashishta Dvaita, they call themselves Vedanta, but they say that the Dvaita and Vashishta Dvaita could actually be part of Shravana, because it would be a debate over what the Upanishads are actually saying. But if you take the Sankhya, you know, they say something completely differently. They also, Sankhya also believes that they can get to that knowledge logically, mm-hmm. that they can give, you know, self-knowledge through logic. They believe that, Patanjali, the Patanjali Yoga Sutras. And they say something totally different. There are many Purushas, the Prakriti is real, they're totally Dvaita. Then there's many different types of Bauda. There's the Yoga, especially the Yogacharas, the Madhyamikas, and then Santrantikas. All of these are dealt with in the second chapter. Right? And so here, all that that's being done here by Sadananda is just bringing up these Purvapakshas, and he's as though taking the role of a Bauda, what they might say, what they would say. I think that's a safe way to take it.
In this Vedanta Sara, it's a well-accepted text, and they use it a lot in that.
We do use this text a lot. Swamiji has a few problems with it. He's got a few problems with Panchadashi also, where things are said in a way that could be kind of misleading, but not very often. Dismiss it, because he always teaches it. It's just where there's certain things that are problematic, he points out. But for the most part, he he likes this text because it goes into such detail. And if there's something that's said in a way that might be misleading, he'll explain that. Okay. So let's look at this. So it says, whereas the Bauda, if you go down to the very end, Buddhi Atma Iti Vedati, the Baudas say, Baudaha Vedati Iti. What do they say? They say that the Buddhi is the Atma. I'll explain that from that in a minute. But for now, the Buddhi, Vijnana, the Buddhi is the Atma. That's what the Baudas says, according to him. And he gives a quote from the Taittiriya Upanishad, which if you read the whole quote along with the whole phrase for this is this. Anyantara Atma Vijnanamayaha Ityadi Shrutehe. Ityadi Shrutehe is in the fifth case. From the Shruti beginning with Anyantara, beginning with, or you can say from such Shrutis as, or from the Shruti, fifth case, from the Shruti Adi beginning with Iti. Then the quotes. Anyantara Atma Vijnanamayaha. There is another Atma which is interior to the Manomaya Atma, right? That's the Vijnana. The Vijnanamaya Atma is different than the Manomaya Atma, and it's interior. It's another one which is interior, the Vijnanamaya. It's interior to what? The Manomaya, the Pranamaya, and the Deha, and the Anandamaya. So this Vijnanamaya is the Atma. The Vijnana is the Atma. It's interior, and it's other than these others, and it's interior. Okay. So from this Shruti, and then he gets to, that's the Shruti, then he gets the logic. Karaktahu abhave, in the non-existence, in the absence of the karata, the doer, karanasya shakti abhavat. Now, so take this whole statement. Because of the absence, the abhava, of any shakti, of any energy, right? For the sense organs, means the manas and the sense organs, for the karanas, in the absence of the karata, there's no one to direct the mind, there's no one to direct the sense organs. And when there's no karata there, when there's no conscious being to direct the mind, or to the manas, or to direct the sense organs, you know, then how can the manas or the sense organs or even the body move? There's no shakti.
Here, kartuhu is what? It's kartahu or kartuhu? What case is that?
A genitive.
Oh,
from kartra. Genitive singular. So in the absence of the karta, let's say, and now I'm doing nominative. So in the absence of the kartra, in the absence of the doer, so, and then, because the abhava, because there can't be any shakti, no energy for the sense organs, no shakti, no power, no capacity for the sense organs or the manas, if there's no buddhi there, buddhi means now they're talking about the ahankara, there's no buddhi there, there's no conscious being directing it, you know. Then, so, that's one, so that's the anubhava, that's the, what we call the yukti. So the first one is the shruti, second one is yukti, the piece of logic, and the last one is anubhava. The anubhava is aham karta, aham bhokta, ityadi anubhavacha. And from the anubhava, from the experience of I am a karta, I am a doer, I am an enjoyer, that's my experience, right? So he says, and because of that, because of these three reasons, the buddhi is the atma for the Yogacara Buddhas. Now, what they mean there, the Buddhists are not going to say there's an atma. But in terms of what is functioning as an atma, what is functioning as a self, they don't accept Brahman. Or they don't accept an Atma, which is Brahman, which is the Adhishtana for the whole all of Maya. They don't accept that at all. But what in this body, mind, sense organs makes you think of a self? What is it that allows you to take yourself, allows there to be a self for you? And so in this composite body, mind, sense organs, according to the Yogacaras, The stream of consciousness, which we call vijnana, the stream of consciousness, which is always associated with thought modifications, that stream of consciousness is what is real. And there's something called the alaya vijnana, which there's a lot about this which I'm not even capable of understanding without or explaining without notes.
And do we use the term vijnana as a stream of consciousness
no.
here? But they're using it in that context.
Well, we use it in total. Yeah, they're using it in that context. For in the Yogacara Buddhism, there is no independent consciousness. There's only the vijnana, which is associated always with thoughts. And then, that stream of consciousness, which is like a stream of vrittis, think of it as a stream of vrittis, that is the reality. No type of external reality can be substantiated. And yet, the Yogacara, which is different than some other types of Buddhists, like the Shunyavadins, won't say this, but the Yogacaras will say, there's no way to establish any type of external reality. Because, and they have a lot of logic to why that can't be established. Because you can never, one thing is you can never experience external reality away from consciousness. There's no way to even get there. And also, and I can't remember all of these things, but I don't want to remember. I have to teach you thoroughly if I try to do this. And I can't do that right now. But I can give you just a few things. The external reality that we experience through our sense organs, they won't accept as real. The only thing they'll accept as real is the vijnana. And the vijnana is consciousness which is continually in, not even in association, it's continually one with thought modifications. So one thought modification after another after another. They'll say that you can't, there's no way to really experience an external, something that has an external reality. Because for one thing, they'll say you can't experience it. You can't experience it for a couple of different reasons. One is, something that has an external reality can be looked at from many different dimensions, from many different angles. It's impossible for you to do that. And also, anything that you experience in the external world is made of atoms. They're as though made of atoms. Anus. And it can be infinitely divided. And so what is it that you're actually seeing? You're incapable of even seeing an anu. It's not possible to see that. Right? Nor can you see something from all dimensions of reality. That's not a possibility. And so there's no way to establish that there is an external reality. You know? But then the objection will come up. As well, if there's no external reality and all there is this flow of vijnana, this flow of consciousness, it's like a flow of vrittis, why then can't you just create your reality? Because I right now can think whatever I want to. And so if there is no external reality, I should be able to just create it, you know, if it's mindful. And they say, no, you can't do that because consciousness itself has what they call a storehouse. It's alaya vijnana. It's a storehouse of samskaras. Samskaras means like subtle vrittis or tendencies. You know, it's like a storehouse of samskaras means previous cognitions, that type of thing. And that's going to be probably an infinite storehouse that called alaya vijnana. And that's the closest you can get to an Atma, the experience of the self. Now, those vrittis are going to be called forth dependent upon whatever situation is there, and you can't stop that from happening. You know. So,
and who's holding the storehouse of reality?
Just the vijnana itself. There's total interconnectedness. There isn't an underlying Brahman. There's interconnectedness. But he doesn't. I don't know that he knows about this because I certainly don't. But he's saying that he's using our language by saying the Baudas say that this buddhi is the Atma. The Baudas aren't going to say that. The Yogacaras won't say that. They're using, he's using for Atma their Chaitanya. He would have to, consciousness. He would have to say consciousness. And then he would have to describe, he would have to say the Baudas, meaning the Yogacharas, they believe that stream of consciousness, which is for us would be like a stream of vrittis, is the reality. There's no way to establish an external reality. So it's complicated. I don't have all the Purva Paksha Siddhanta, and I don't understand. I didn't have time to really study it well enough to present it to you, but I can tell you what this guy's saying. What he's saying is that the closest thing that they would to what we would call the Atma is for them Vijnana, because that's where the consciousness is. But for them, this Vijnana, the stream of consciousness, has to be there as interior to the manas and the sense organs, because that's where I identify myself as I am the one who is the karta, the doer. I am the one who is in the, who is the enjoyer. And it's because of me, it's because of my doership that I direct my sense organs and that I direct my mind. And so that vijnana, the buddhi and the ahankara, are interior to the manas. And so that's, he's using the Bauda there in kind of a simplistic way, you know, because the Baudas kind of say that. The Yogacara kind of says that, so he's using it.
But this is just based on one school of Buddhism, is
yeah,
that right?
Only Yogacara.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's many different schools. We're going to do the, he's also going to do the Shunyavadas, the Majjhimikas.
Because from my experience, that wouldn't fit the style I learned. You
know, not at all.
So
no.
There's differences in what school.
No, Yogacara doesn't really fit at all with the Shunyavadins or most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of some of the Tibetans are very close to the Yogacara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially the Dzogchen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very close to that.
Mm-hmm.
But not the Shunyavadins or the Kshanika Vijnanavadins. You know, the Kshanika, that the Swamiji calls that bleep bleep consciousness. Anyway, I think that Sadananda is kind of using this in kind of a self-serving way,
yes,
to make a point. Because
he just chose the particular.
Yeah. And there's some truth in it. There's truth in it that because the Yogacara accepts Vijnanam as the reality, flow of consciousness for the reality. And they use the word Vijnana. Vijnana is a word that we use for the buddhi.
So right, I'm really confused. So we get it into all these different approaches, different schools of thoughts. We explore all these different schools of thoughts to find out in the end that I'm in the right spot.
Well, no, not quite. That's true, but it would be more like this. And we have to take it. We're going to be doing the Mimamsas in it probably tomorrow, and the Shunyavadins. You think of it as a Purva Paksha. So if you yourself think that, recognize that, you know, I am my mind, and then not the fluctuating mind, I'm not the emotions, because I'm aware of the emotions, you know. So I'm the conscious being who is, you know, aware of the object of consciousness. But in Vijnanavadin, the consciousness and the object of consciousness are the same. You can't separate them. So now, for instance, if you have a thought, say you have just any type of thought, that thought enjoys consciousness. The next thought enjoys consciousness. The next thought enjoys consciousness. So what if I say that the flow of thoughts, you know, which I identify with as me, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this, this flow of thoughts, that's called Vijnana, is the Atma. Now, until you're taught, you're going to either think that is the Atma, or you're going to think the body is the Atma, or as you analyze, you'll go through this process of Driktrisha Viveka, what you can objectify, until you get to something at last which is the Atma. See what I mean? So you just take these as Purva Pakshas, and in your mind you can, now you've been taught too long, but now you have to get back there to be thinking, how could somebody take this mind is the Atma. Well, until the viveka is there between the two, you've always taken it as the Atma. The body, mind, sense organs, as a conglomerate, as yourself. And then slowly it's differentiated. Well, I'm aware of my body through my sense organs. All these teaching prakriyas are done to bring about a differentiation. And so what he's doing is methodically trying to give you a list of purvapakshas and attributing them to a school of thought. But they don't have to be attributed to a school of thought. He's doing it that way. Even without bringing in any school of thought, we have to do all of this.
It's just a thought that got stuck with.
It's a teaching methodology. It's a place where you're stuck because...
Yeah.
It's a place of being stuck. That's right.
That's where the thought is the self.
That's where the adhyasa is still there. You know what adhyasa... Everybody know what adhyasa means by this time? Anyonya adhyasa. This mutual superimposition. And mutual superimposition is very subtle. You know, you can... It can catch you, that superimposition, especially in reference to your raga dvesha, in reference to your likes and dislikes, you know, in reference to your emotions. It can catch you, and that's why all of this work is done step by step. Anything within maya, that anything within the maya upadi from the standpoint of the jiva and from the world, because you can superimpose ananda onto the world. All of this has to be done thoroughly and not in one way. It has to be done in many different ways. The same thing. Even a reference to body, not one way. Many different ways, many different times, in many different contexts. And that's true with every aspect of this teaching. Many different ways, many different times, in many different contexts.
In many lifetimes.
Not in many lifetimes.
No.
And then another little thing to understand about this, just to understand the teaching methodology. Every time you hear it, the same thing, there comes a time when it's the same thing again for you, but for many years it isn't the same thing again because it's coming into your mind which has a different knowledge base. Because every time you understand something more, then everything that you had understood before, you now understand it differently. And that's not to say that it was wrong when you... It could have been wrong when you understood it before, but not necessarily. It's just now, when you understand it, it's more... has more of a context. And so that understanding now has a ripple effect with all of these other things, like a domino effect with all of these other things. And that's why you go on understanding the same thing, but it's never quite the same thing. Because it's in a different context, you know. And so this Vedanta is not like reading a book. You know, like say you read a book and the author keeps repeating. You're not used to that. Why do they keep repeating themselves? Yeah. They keep saying the same thing. You know.
You are that.
But the teacher has to be creative and careful not to become boring, not to let that happen, because it can happen. Oh, there she goes again with the same story. You know?
Clay pot.
That's true. There's the clay pot again.
The snake rope.
So you somehow...
The tenth man.
But you know, what the one... I'll tell you the way around it. All of that, because eventually that's going to happen to you. If it hasn't already, it does happen. But that's why after, say, when Swamiji teaches at the course, like he's teaching two or three classes a day, every day. Right? But after 6 months of doing that, vision, with very little Sanskrit, translating every word and all of that, after 6 months, he gives you about 6 months to learn Sanskrit, to get the basics down, to become very familiar with the script, the Sunday rules, and to start learning the grammar. You have 6 months. Then he starts doing the bhashyas. And when you do the bhasha, that is holding your mind in a disciplined analysis. You know? And so it's a totally different type of study. And so now you're concentrating sentence to sentence to sentence to sentence to sentence to sentence and to understand this. And so now your mind is not going to be, oh, here comes the clay pot again, or here comes this unfoldment, because it's a totally different type of study. See what I mean? And so after he does 6 months of just unfoldment, and then after that, it's commentary. It's very much more, he still does, within the commentary, it's not that he doesn't do unfoldment, he does a lot of unfoldment within the commentary. But it's a different type of...
Well, the commentary is for the...
It is the unfoldment, but it's just, it's a different structure, you know. So let's, why don't we stop here? We'll do these new moms this next time. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.